Hey, Drilled listeners. We are talking today to Femke Sliegers. She heads up a group in the Netherlands that's working to ban fossil fuel ads. And I wanted to talk to her because that is an idea that has been floated here as well. And I was curious to hear if she had the same sort of reception there as people have gotten here, how the media is reacting to it, all of those kinds of things. One of the really interesting things that she mentioned was that in the Netherlands, Shell sponsors a lot of educational and science and culture events. And that is one of the biggest ways that they advertise, especially to young kids. So they are tackling that part of advertising as well. So not just media ads, but also event sponsorship, which would be a huge deal if people in the US picked up, because the oil companies very much do the same thing here. If you listened to our episode on Louisiana, you would have heard about Shell sponsoring Jazz Fest there, and BP sponsoring all kinds of museum exhibits, and Chevron sponsoring various educational and arts groups. Oil companies do that kind of thing to establish what they call a social license to operate. This is an idea that BP first formalized in a couple of papers following the Deepwater Horizon spill. It's the notion that the most important thing really to fossil fuels' ability to stay alive and stay profitable is a social license. In other words, a license from the public to continue doing what they're doing, a sense that whatever damage they might be doing is outweighed by the good that they do. We're going to get into all of that and more on today's episode, coming up right after this message from today's sponsor. I'm Amy Westervelt, and this is Drilled.
I was hoping we could start with having you introduce yourself and talk a bit about this fossil fuel ads ban campaign that you're working on, kind of how it came about and what you guys are trying to do.
All right. I'm Femke Sliegers. I'm with the Dutch brand of the Worldwide Fossil Free Movement. And we want to put an end to the misleading of the public and the politicians by banning advertisements and marketing by the fossil fuel industry. And we campaign for a tobacco-style ban of fossil fuel advertisements. And this ban would prevent greenwashing, branding, sponsoring, and it basically forbids fossil fuel companies to use their logos on any other place than their direct selling points, so at the gas stations. And at these gas stations, we want a warning, just like on a pack of cigarettes, so people can make an informed choice. And we arrived at this campaign because we were campaigning at child marketing and the influence of companies like Shell in education.
So in Holland, that's interesting. That's really interesting. We're working on a series about
That
because it's so pervasive.
It's really systematic. Yeah. And it started out when there was a child marketing festival in The Hague, the city where I live and where also the headquarters of Shell is. Mm-hmm. And this festival, it's called Generation Discover. Nice name, of course. And it's part of the worldwide Make the Future campaign by Shell. But this campaign was aimed at kids from 6 years old till 13 year old. And of course, it's all about windmills and clean energy. And our local city council was subsidizing it from the the education budget, and so we were campaigning against that, and we dove into the message of Shell. What is Shell really telling us at this festival? And we discovered that between all the green and shiny technological innovation kind of messages, and of course they were fully aligned with the sustainable development goals, and we discovered that they also had some climate lies. And so they made children lay a puzzle about the energy mix in 2070. And of course, the puzzle has fixed pieces, so there was no, they didn't ask kids, how do you think the energy mix will look like in 2050? And of course, 2050 is the year when we should all be at zero emissions, according to the Paris Agreement. But in the puzzle that Shell Mitkin relate, it said in 2050, there will still be 70% coal, oil, and gas in the energy mix.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I asked an employee at the festival, why are you telling this to children? You say, Shell says it's aligned to Paris, and you say at the festival you teach kids that in 2050 there's still 70% coal, oil, and gas in the energy mix. And then he said, well, we have to be realistic, and we want to, we don't want to lie to children. And yeah, so that's, you see that, Shell wants kids to, it's really propaganda. They are really influencing kids to think in a way, and to keep oil and gas normal for decades to come. Yeah, Shell is of course very big on gas, and they had this this fuel gas to liquid, and they were advertising at it with the festival, and they said it gas to liquid aligned to the Sustainable Development Goal number 7 for clean energy. And of course, it was also, again, a big lie. And we were fighting this lie at the ethical board for advertisements. And we won. So Shell had to say it was sorry. But then we thought, well, we are chasing each advertisement by Shell, but this is really systematic. And we don't have the money to run after every lie that they tell. And then we thought, well, how did they do it at the tobacco industry? Because they also went to schools and told lies to kids, and like Shell does, and Exxon, and all the others. And then we thought, well, we need a tobacco law for the fossil fuel industry. So the tobacco industry can't use their logo anymore, and the same should be for the fossil fuel industry.
It's interesting that that you extend it to, sponsoring these types of events too. We did an episode with some folks in Louisiana recently, and they were talking about how much the oil companies have sort of embedded themselves in the local institutions there, so that a lot of the educational organizations and art museums and community groups and whatever are sort of dependent on funding from fossil fuels.
It's probably the first thing they learn about climate change, and it's coming from fossil fuel industry. And
exactly,
that's really the way that they think.
So what's like, when did you start, and what has the response been so far from either the oil companies or politicians, or how's it going so far?
We started out with a citizens initiative, and for that we need 40,000 signatures, and then we can really address it at our national government. And because of Corona, our campaign was a little bit changed. So we have about 5,000 signatures at the moment. It could be far more. And the politicians, it's really a logical thing. If you asked politicians, but why? What's a good reason to not introduce a ban for fossil fuel advertisements? I think they can't answer it, because it's really dangerous, and there's no way to defend this. But of course, they are all conservative, and of course there are also next year are the elections, and maybe the Green Party wants to join the Liberals, and so they're a little bit hesitant to speak out.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting. What about, have you heard anything from media outlets, like either TV or radio or, you know, magazine or newspaper that might have some amount of their revenue attached to these ads?
Yeah, that's a very interesting one, because we're campaigning for the city of Amsterdam to ban all fossil fuel ads in the city, in the capital. And it's really hard to make a connection to the media. And I think that's partly because they are funded by fossil fuel ads. And there's the most elite newspaper in the Holland, like the New York Times. It's running branded content for Shell a lot. And that's really something we're going to address. But within the editorial board, there is already, they are not fans of this. So there is opposition within the in the paper.
That's interesting. So have you looked at, I know there's the one newspaper in Sweden, and then The Guardian, I think, are the only two so far that have done this, right? And they have really good answers for all of this stuff. The thing that the Guardian woman said to us that I thought was so interesting was, and like makes it so easy, because a lot of people have been kind of like, well, you know, where does it end? Do you ban car ads and, you know, travel ads and, you know, any kind of ad could have a carbon footprint associated with it, right? Yeah. So her response was that, you know, fossil fuel companies are never advertising a product. They're always just advertising sort of a policy position or trying to make people think a certain way about their brands. And so it's very easily distinguished from other types of advertising because they're not selling anything. I guess, is there a sense, do you have any sense at all of sort of how much revenue these folks might be getting from fossil fuel companies? Because that was one thing that when we were talking to the Guardian folks, like, I don't think a lot of oil and gas companies were advertising in The Guardian anyway.
Exxon was really big,
yeah, that's true, yeah. But they said that it represented, I think, like 1% of their ad revenue, which, you know, especially right now, is a lot. So anyway, but I'm curious if, like, you have any sense of how much they might be spending on particularly media buys.
Not yet.
Do you think it might be impacting how the media is even covering your campaign?
We can say that for sure. But yeah, and because we went live during Corona,
so
also be a reason. So it's hard to say.
It's hard to tell. Yeah. Okay, and then I know you emailed me initially because you had noticed shortly after you launched that a shadowy figure was visiting your website. Can you say a little bit about that?
Yeah. We just launched our website like 2 weeks, and I was checking if there was already incoming traffic, and then I saw amongst the familiar names, I saw a name I didn't know, and it was Sick Watch. And I ran a quick Google search and found that this company monitors NGOs and grassroots activism against multinationals. And then it's like big agro, big food, big oil, and big tobacco.
Yeah.
And they also teach multinationals how to mute activism. So I dove somewhat deeper, and I discovered Sick, which was founded in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was reason for mild suspicion, as in the 90s, all kind of denialism sprang and was flourishing.
Yeah.
And I found that the founder of Sickwatch was Robert Blood, and then I ran a search on Robert Blood, and I discovered a guy named Robert Blood helped casting doubt about the health hazards of smoking for British American Tobacco, and he even linked opposition to tobacco regulation to opposition on environmental issues, and he was suggesting that the best way to counter activism is showing understanding and using fair words and taking very small actions. So they always refer to that.
I get the sense that the fossil fuel industry in general is getting quite worried about its social license being eroded. Have you guys connected with groups elsewhere in the world that are looking at a similar kind of approach?
No, we know that in the UK there's a group, and they have a different approach. They say all greenwashing should have a warning on it, and if they don't, then we need a ban. We think a warning on fossil fuel ads is not enough, because the misleading can still go on. And in Norway, there was an editorial letter from the Climate Youth, and they also were pleading for a ban. But I don't know if a campaign is attached to it, if there are any other initiatives, because I think the timing is just right. And we really must step up. And we don't have time for nudging every consumer to make the right choice. And we can't expect children and adults to be aware of misleading ads all the time. And we don't have the money to chase every ad. So we must be open. We must open the conversation to strict legal regulation. But I think it's still a taboo, because we always solve things with nudging and with self-regulation, but it's not enough in the light of climate change.
Are you making any kind of inroads with politicians that might take this up, or even like sort of, you know, legal organizations or civil society groups or anything like that that might, you know, take this up and turn it into legislation?
Yes, we are planning to make our own tobacco style law. So we will make the proposal. We are already talking with lawyers about it, and we will present this law to the politicians. And we have some who favor this, so they will propose it in parliament. And we already ran a test with the tobacco law, and it's just the tobacco law that bans tobacco advertisement, and it's really easy to convert it to the fossil fuel industry. So it's like one of one. So it's also a concept that many countries can do.
Yeah.
So I hope many countries will plead for such a law.
Okay, that's it for this time. Thanks so much for tuning in. Again, we are working on a new narrative season that will be coming out in August, so stay tuned for that. If you are a paid member through our Patreon, then you will get access to that entire season, all 10 episodes, early. So make sure you're signed up for that. We have pledges as low as $5 a month. I understand that now is a really tough time for everyone on the money front. So if you can't afford a subscription, don't worry. You will still get access to that season. It'll just be a little bit later. We are also about to launch a Drilled News local network. We will be working with reporters across the country to do accountability reporting on the ground in oil and gas states. That is being funded in part by listener and reader support. We very much appreciate it. Some of our latest Patreon patrons are Timothy Bergen, Michael Rybel-Bosen, Julia Steinberger, Rachel Buddeberg, Avery Robertson, Sandy Emerson, and Catherine Coble. Thank you guys so much. Your help really supports a lot of the work that we're doing. It goes directly into more reporting, more production work, really just producing more stories and getting them out to more people. That's it for this time. We will seriously, for real this time, be taking a little bit of a break until the next big season comes out. You might get occasional bonus updates in between now and then, but otherwise we will see you in a few weeks. Thanks again for listening.